We will remain standing this afternoon for the reading of God's Word. Our reading will be found in the ninth chapter of the book of Isaiah. There we read, "Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her, by way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, in Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as when men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. Every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and the garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the proclamations that we celebrate in this great season, for the truth that you have given us in your word about what you are doing with your son Jesus in history and in us. May we be faithful in listening as we should this day in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said,
amen.
You may be seated. Well, as I've often done from this pulpit this afternoon, I want to focus on the account of Simeon, which we read responsibly a moment ago. The occasion of Simeon's prayer and the content of his prayer has much to teach us as we seek to serve the Lord of glory in this new year. Lessons I have summarized in three words that I trust you will remember: hope, contentment, and vision. And of course, all three are confirmed by this glorious passage that I read from our text from Isaiah, which concluded with this powerful promise: the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now, before I dig into Simeon's prayer and these important lessons, I want to take the opportunity of the new year to remind us about why we have three places in our order of worship where we sing the same thing week after week: our opening hymn of adoration, "O Worship the King," the Apostles' Creed as we approach the table, and the singing of Simeon's simple prayer as part of our commissioning and being sent forth. Now, obviously, each of these remind us all about some important truths, but they are kept constant to help us teach our children the importance of being involved in the worship service. Our young children can quickly be taught the first verse of "O Worship the King," and the rotating second verses will come quickly as well. Now, the singing of the Apostle Creed before communion, well, that comes with more lines, but the ability of young children to memorize things is quite amazing. And parents, if you have them memorize it at home, they will be able to sing it each week in church. And finally, we have Simeon's prayer, which we will study this afternoon. And again, if they learn it at home, they can sing it with all of us each week. Now, this assumes, of course, that parents and all of us expect them to participate in worship. It assumes that each of us is setting a good example for them in worship. If your children have not been focused in this way, this is one of the best New Year's resolutions that you as parents can make. Now, let me turn to the lessons about hope, contentment, and vision. God had proclaimed through the prophet Isaiah that a child would be born. And now Jesus has been born, and he is brought as an infant to the temple by his parents, as was required by the law of God. The firstborn male was dedicated to God to remind them how God had purchased the firstborn of Israel for himself when the death angel passed over the homes that had blood on them in the doorpost of Egypt. It is at this point that we are introduced to Simeon, who we are told is just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, one who is waiting for the promised Messiah, a faithful saint who the Holy Spirit had comforted with a special promise and guided to the temple on this very day. When he sees the baby Jesus, Luke tells us that he took him up in his arms and blessed God. Simeon's actions reflect what we will see in Simeon's prayer. Simeon had hope. Simeon had contentment. Simeon had a vision for the future. These are the lessons that Simeon and his prayer can teach us and our church in the hustle and bustle of the 21st century. Hope, contentment, and vision are things the world searches for in vain, extending vast sums of time and riches trying to find them. Simeon had hope because he lived as a just and devout member of God's covenant people, believing the promises that God had made down through history. Simeon was content because we are told that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, the coming of the Messiah. And Simeon had a great vision of the future, believing that God would show him the Messiah and that this Messiah would be the light of the whole world. Simeon then prays a simple prayer that has been repeated and sung by saints for almost 2,000 years. Holding that tiny weeks-old baby in his arms, Simeon prays, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." What we see again in this simple prayer is Simeon's hope, his contentment, and his vision. Simeon sees his hope fulfilled as he is allowed to hold the baby Jesus, knowing that he is the promised Messiah. His hope was in the promise of God, as it must be with us. This is why we baptize our covenant children, finding our hope in God's promise for them, and why we are sent forth with the Great Commission, believing that the kingdom of Jesus will fill the whole earth. Simeon is content with the little that God allows him to see, knowing that he held the Savior of the world in his hands. Simeon knows that God's Messiah would suffer and go on to reign, but those are things that he would not be able to see. We are to be content where God has placed us, based on the hope that we have in his promises. And finally, Simeon reveals his vision of the future when he prays, "Your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles." So you have to kind of take in this scene. There's one just and devout Jewish man who held no station that we're told of, holding an infant son of a poor family that could not even afford the sacrificial lamb. And as he does so, he is believing that this infant was the light which God had promised to the whole world. As we read from Isaiah in our text, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Now the Jews at that time had become a selfish, self-centered people with no desire to be a blessing to the nations of the earth as God had promised through Abraham and commanded them to be. What Simeon said about the Gentiles would have been shocking to those leaders of Israel. As we often will go on to see in the ministry of Jesus or the book of Acts, when Gentiles are even mentioned. But Simeon was a faithful man who believed the promises that God had made and knew that God's salvation would include the Gentiles, just as the prophets had foretold. Isaiah chapter 42 reads, "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles." And in verse 6, "I, Jehovah, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness, from the prison house." We see the same at chapter 49 in Isaiah. "Indeed, Jehovah says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore and the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth." And finally, in Isaiah chapter 60, "Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of Jehovah has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But Jehovah will arise over you. His glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising." Now, one could certainly wonder how all of the religious leaders of that day could have missed what seems to be so clear about the salvation of Jesus going to the Gentiles. I guess it's not unlike many in the church today that question the history of the early chapters of Genesis, who cannot seem to find any condemnation of abortion or sodomy in the Bible. But the greater example we have is Simeon, who believed God's word and God's promises. Thus, we see him as a saint with great hope, a saint who was content with his station in life and time, and a saint who had a very clear vision of the future. That is the example he should be to us today as individuals and as a church. With anything else, less, quite honestly, we're just playing church. And we'll risk being as blind as the religious leaders of that very day who missed Jesus, their Messiah, when he was right there in the presence, in the midst of their temple. As with Simeon, our hope must be in the promises of God, his sure word. Which is why we must be very serious about a New Year's resolve to be men and women, boys and girls of the Word. People of the Word in our private devotions, in our family devotions, and in our regular attendance at worship. We must be a people that are content with where God has placed us. We are to be a thankful people, not those who complain and worry. We must see ourselves as blessed to be in God's covenant, baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit as one of his children, having the hope of seeing Jesus, not as a newborn child, but as the Lord of glory, now seated at the Father's right hand. In our broken world, we must also rest in God's providence. when we face the trials of death or separation, avoiding anxiety over time and money, believing that God's great promise of salvation is unto us and our children. Young people believing that God's promise of life as a result of obedience to their parents is a real promise. It's a promise that bears much fruit, including a godly spouse if you are to be married. As a local church, we must believe that we are part of the body of Christ and that each and every member has an important role to play. Again, we must be content, resting in God's providence as we see new members join with us with joy and when we have members leave us as well. As we learn to be content in the hope that God has given us, we will become a people of great vision, believing that God has brought light to the Gentiles and that the gospel will impact all the nations. The coming of Jesus has brought joy to the world and peace on earth. But we often struggle with being content to let God bring that joy and peace as He sees fit. We must believe His promise and simply be ready to do our part. Today, if we think about that, it seems like an impossible task with all of the divisions and problems that we have in our world, in our nation, in our families. But as we saw from Daniel's interpretation of the king's dream, God will fill the earth with the kingdom of Jesus. P.J. O'Rourke famously said that everyone wants to save the world. They sing Imagine every New Year's night because we all want to be one. But the reality is no one wants to wash the dishes. God will save the world. We just need to remember to wash the dishes and to be content while doing whatever task God has given us to do. Our desire should be to live the just and devout life that Simeon gives us an example of. We should desire to be a people filled with real hope, content with where God has placed us, and a people consumed with God's vision of His kingdom filling the whole earth. January returns us here at Church of the King to reading the Proverbs, one chapter a day if you're following our church calendar, and we can find such wisdom there for learning to be such people. King Solomon, in that book of wisdom, is instructing his son about the way of righteousness so that he can be just and devout like Simeon. We find him using the familiar theme of light, contrasting it with darkness. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18, we read, "The path of the just is like a shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil." Do you want to be just and devout, knowing the hope and contentment and vision of someone like Simeon? Then commit anew to study these books of wisdom in the new year. That is wise counsel for anyone who wants to be part of the fulfillment of Simeon's prayer. Then we will be able to truly share the message of Christmas, For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, remembering the glorious promise given so many years before that we read as our text, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of Jehovah of hosts will perform this. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that the burden of the world is not upon our shoulders, but upon the shoulders of Jesus Christ. We are thankful that he rules as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. May we be his faithful servants, living lives that are full of hope, contentment, and a great vision of what you will accomplish in history and in us. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said,
Amen.
Please arise now as we sing the Christmas hymn, The First Noel.